This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
So the significance of that is if you can bring efficiencies, which you're predicting a 30 to 40% wastage currently on the consumables and cleaning line items. The second largest expense line is cleaning and consumables, and you're able to optimize that by 30 to 40%. Help some of our viewers understand the implications for an investor. If you're able to improve a dollar on your net operating income, your profit, what does that do to your valuation? Could you sort of give an example so people can understand this isn't just about saving 30 to 40% on cleaning? This actually creates so much outsized returns for investors because you're making more profit.
Exactly. No, that's exactly it. It's really about when it comes to a building operation, maximizing as much of the net profits as you can, and that's an obvious statement, but it doesn't come so simple because of the way or the effort required to really implement some of these savings. So this is one of the things that we're trying to push forward. Is this, it's an extremely new phenomenon, you could say, for a lot of these properties to implement some of this data. But with simple changes such as even adjusting cleaning schedules to meet the real-time demand, we're essentially able to 20x the ROI on the investment into our system.
Right, 20x. Explain that part. I mean, that's a crazy return on investment for a customer, right? You'd think to be stupid not to buy a technology product that can improve your ROI by 20x.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's just the simplicity of what can be gained on the upside of actually taking the time to understand the data that you have being produced and putting it to work in your building and taking a risk and to actually change the operations of your building. As you know, status quo is just the way it's always been done, and to go back to what we said earlier, it's just really not going to be, that's just not going to create profitable returns for these building operations anymore.
So when you say something like a 20x ROI, do you basically say that comes from the 30 to 40% savings, or are you taking into the account the valuation increase in the property as well?
So that's just purely gross savings on things on that cleaning spend. That's not even factoring in the overall net savings on things like the property value, on having good data to show your potential buyers, those types of things, and showing growth rates of tenancy in your building and reduction in OPEX and increased profitability. Those things aren't even factored into that price number.
So this is the crazy thing about prop tech. This is why I love the industry. Firstly, there's so much waste that on a direct ROI basis, you can get outcomes like that. You spend something on a product or service, a prop tech solution, and you immediately see an ROI. But here is the part people forget. It doesn't stop at the 20x ROI. If you can improve the profitability of a building, buildings are valued like companies. In real estate, we use a metric called cap rates. Basically, it's a multiple of your net operating income, and that's how you determine the property value. A tiny change in your net operating income can have tremendous improvements in the valuation of the property itself, because people are buying the net present value of future income streams. So, any technology that improves NOI of a building is just gold, literally, for investors. The owners of the real estate aren't just cutting, aren't just making their money back times 20. They're improving the valuation, and the valuation therefore goes towards, the returns you provide to investors. And here's another great thing about real estate too, is the leverage. Real estate is such a beautiful asset class because often people don't own a building 100%. Now it can turn back to bite you hard in a situation like COVID, where you've got mortgages to pay and you've got low occupancy and you can't cover your debt. But when it works in your favor, that leverage is powerful. Mm-hmm. You'll put down 20, 30%, maybe more, and the rest of it comes from a bank, a mortgage. And so every dollar you improve in the valuation is actually pure profit once the debt's paid off. on that initial principal sum. It's the craziest thing about real estate, which you don't get in many other asset classes.
Yeah, it's really that exponential sort of long-term growth that is, like you said, it's not realized in many different sectors. And I think that's I think part of the reason why, like you said, there's so much upside in this industry, but also a part of the reason why things can move slower than we really hope is because I think there's a lot of that sort of there's a lot of that risk to balance as well on the flip side of that same token.
The risk in terms of adopting prop tech, or you mean the risk in terms of growing portfolios of real estate and, the speed of which buying and selling happens?
I think that it's really an aspect of, how much time do I need to spend in making this ROI a reality? And is that time, is it appropriate for the return I expect to get? And in our case, we make it as simple as possible for our customers to get that return. And yeah, just essentially trying to reduce that risk as much as possible.
Do you know, and this is advice to our viewers. I meet founders like Nathan sometimes who have product market fit. And when they have product market fit, they can say something like a 20x ROI. For years, when I built my own company, I built a company called Vungle. It was a marketing tech company. It sold for $780 million. I was the founder and CEO of the company. And when we started out, we created a new ad format. And it was a video ad on a mobile phone, and it was promoting a game. And all our competitors were charging per view. Now, here's a problem with that. You're charging per view, it's not customer friendly, it's not something they can understand. So let me understand, I'm gonna spend $1,000 and I'm gonna get 100,000 views, so what? People watch my ad, so what? We went down and we said, no. We are gonna charge you per install, right? So you pay per user that downloads your app after watching the video. And that wasn't good enough. I mean, the business grew when we did that. We really hit product market fit when we said, you know what, we're launching a crazy new product. We're gonna call this like an ROI ad spend pricing model. How about this? You put down $100 and I guarantee you'll make $150 back. Suddenly customers say, wait, let me understand. I'm not paying per view, I'm not paying per install. I just simply put like $100 down for a user. And if that, you're telling me I'll make $150 back? Why wouldn't that work? So we created a whole industry, and we called it, I don't want to get technical here, but ROAS, ROAS, important term for people to understand, return on ad spend. Okay? If you want to make advertising scalable, you have to go down to the root, or you have to go down the path of this language. You spend X and you make Y. We created an AI algorithm where people would spend 500K and then make 750K back, then repeat and rinse. So I find founders who have product market fit speak the same language when they can say, you spend X and you make X extra in ROI. That means you've gone through the pain of getting case studies. You've got the data and you've got the confidence and you've got a killer pitch. It's just the pitch resonates in a real estate because of it's not just an improvement in ROI. You've got improvement in the actual property value. So that's a great, congratulations, really. It sounds like you've got product market fit and you can only say that when you can quantify your success that way.
Appreciate that. Yeah. No, I think the first step to every business is ROI, and especially in prop tech, that's all the more true. A lot of the other smaller benefits, I hear a lot of founders, trying to lead with that pitch. It's almost always the sort of the hard cost savings first, and then from there you trickle down the soft benefits. That's usually the way that we've had success.
Yeah. So, viewers might be wondering why is Zane so excited about cleaning business, right? Why is he so riled up? Well, here's the thing that I see. The most exciting business opportunities are the most boring and the most neglected and have unit economics. And real estate is full of these examples. And I'm going to name a few, okay? But there's so many examples where gross margins are very low. Take property management, for example, right? I invested in OneRent, which is a tech-enabled property manager. And their gross margins are now, 50, 60% when your average property management margin is, as small as a few percentage points up to 15, 20%. By bringing in technology, you can change the game. Now, here's a big opportunity, Nathan. I sort of want to brainstorm it with you live, right? And before I brainstorm it with you, the property management industry is concentrated in really mom and pop groups that are small, and you've got a few large firms, and they have some economies of scale but very little tech. Before I brainstorm with you, what is the fragmentation of the customer base you're going after, especially the cleaning companies themselves, right? That's what I'm talking about, the cleaning companies. Is it mom and pop operators and they're very local, or do you have national firms that are very large?
Yeah, we go for the larger firms. So the typical cleaning company size that we're going after is thousands of cleaners. And that's really just I think a testament of the larger the companies, the larger buildings that they're cleaning, and just the larger return that you're going to be getting, both gross and net. So for a larger building, a lot of the economics don't work for a single coffee shop or like a small size apartment building. It makes sense for these large buildings that we think about: the stadiums, the airports, obviously the offices, the hospitals, areas which are really, really, you're able to get those economies of scale from the sheer amount of people and operations that happen there.
Is that fair to say it's a labor arbitrage? You hire cleaners at a certain price, you have large buildings, and so because of the large building, you have a higher average contract value, more jargon, ACV, average contract value. And that's the reason. Now, are there a few large firms, and do they account for 80% of the market? Or, are these large firms tiny and they account for such a small percentage of the market, and there's many large firms?
Cleaning is extremely fragmented, both on the small side and the large side. There's just no way to gain scale over your competitors because the only way you're operating is through labor. And only a business can only get so big if they're predicated on being a labor broker, essentially. You're going to reach a sort of a top threshold of that. I mentioned the profit margins. I know of one company that did in the cleaning business something like $1 billion in revenue, and their profit margin was in the hundreds of thousands, so less than $1 million.
I mean, you're so vulnerable to, I mean, Jesus, you pay the CEO a bonus or you pay someone a bonus and that profit margin's gone, wiped out, so that's pretty scary. Now, this is the brainstorm I want to have with you. And I gave an example of property management, which is highly fragmented. You've got many parts of real estate and the operations of real estate that are highly fragmented. You could say your local stores, you could say laundromats, nail spa salons, veterinarian clinics. Now, cleaning companies, that's interesting. If prop tech is adopted by cleaning companies and they can reduce their cost of labor, they can be more efficient, they can increase their profit margin, there's an opportunity to do a roll up. There's an opportunity for a cleaning company to go out there and to have a distinct competitive advantage and acquire other companies and this is a great thing. This is called private equity. Okay, private equity specializes in doing roll-ups. Okay, so this is more of an educational podcast today, I think, but it's a model I'm fascinated by. It's a model that's worked very well in many industries, and I think real estate's about to see this. And I think prop tech solutions are going to be critical, and this is something anyone can jump on. Really, if you can find a set of prop tech solutions, implement them in a business, improve their efficiency and cost structure, you can go out and buy the companies at a low valuation, a low multiple, and roll them up. What's your thoughts on that strategy? And is that something that can work in the cleaning world?
I think cleaning is destined for a bit of a, I don't want to say rude awakening, but definitely a big shift. I think the embracing of technology is going to be critical for them to survive, quite honestly. There's going to be ways that cleaning companies, they just keep getting driven down. There's only one direction for cleaning to go. Unfortunately, and that's the way of the business, but they're going to need to seek out higher margin ways of diversifying their revenue streams, quite simply. And partnering with technologies like ours, which could often be, the decision that a building makes first is to roll out this technology and then to roll out the cleaning company that can use it. I think that's the trend that we're going to start seeing because these technologies have that ROI over the cleaning, which is always only competing based on price and based on labor. So if the technology's the first into the building, there's no reason why, we either can't partner or work specifically with cleaning companies that are adept at using this type of technology. And I think that's the trend that we'll start to see is these tech-enabled cleaning companies, for example, that can clean a certain percentage more efficient than their competition, just netting them more business over time.
And having a tremendous impact on gross margins. I mean, the example of $1 billion to 100,000s of profit, you know, there's room for efficiency everywhere.